Okay. Let's go. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 23, 24, and 25. Thing up there and to record it. We'll see what happens. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23, 24, and 25. The Bible says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." The focus of today's message is going to be on the question, why should I go to a local church? Why should I go to church? Why should I go to a local church? Now, this question has been asked by many people over the years in one form or another. It's been asked by both believers and non-believers. One of the most common forms of this question is the "I don't need to go to church to be a Christian" statement. Have any of you ever heard that? You know, "Oh yeah, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian." And, you know, indeed, that is true. In the same way, for example, whilst I was in the military, I didn't need to show up for work to be part of the military. After all, I had publicly professed my allegiance, I had been sworn in, I had documents to identify and paperwork proving that I indeed was part of the military. However, not showing up for work would mean that I wasn't a very good part of the military. You know, I mean, you know, I'm paid to be there, and I'm, you know, supposed to be there, but if I'm not there, that doesn't go very well. It would mean that I was absent without leave. I could be found in dereliction of duty, in disobedience to direct orders, and possibly, depending on the circumstances, insubordination to my superiors or desertion. You know, if I didn't show up because I was part of the military. You know, and that's not very good. Because you know what they do during times of war to people that desert? They shoot them. Yes, so that's another matter. But, you know, I didn't need to be physically at my location where I was supposed to work to be part of the military. But because I was part of the military, I made sure I was where I needed to be. You understand that? Now, for believers, there is no substitute for attending church. Now, I understand if you are incapable of going to church. For example, you are sick or you're disabled in some way that precludes you from attending, like you're in intensive care or you're bedridden. Or if you have to miss an occasional service due to work requirements. But this would be the exception rather than the rule. But apart from those types of things or emergencies, every believer should be going to a local church. Now, when I say local church, I'm talking about a visible assembly of people physically gathered in one place. This does not include television or radio ministries, which may be nice for additional Bible teaching, but that's not your local church, because you're merely observing at that point, you're listening. You're not participating. But there are other reasons that we'll cover. But why? Why must every believer go to a local church? Well, one reason is because it is an act of obedience to God. As we see on our main text, the Bible says, the writer of the book of Hebrews commands us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. It's a commandment. Commands are meant to be obeyed. And not forgetting, in that same passage, it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." If you isolate yourself, you cannot fulfill that command. You can't provoke one another to good works and to love if you don't see one another, if you don't speak with one another, if you're never around one another. There's no communication. There can be no provoking unto love and good works, can there? You know, just simply won't work. I mean, this point alone should be enough to ensure faithfulness to the house of God. But are we done? No, certainly not. Because every believer must go to a local church not only because it is an act of obedience to God, but also it is an expression of our love. You know, it's important to express that love. Going to church is a visible, a tangible expression of our love and our worship toward God. That is, a place that we can gather with other believers to publicly bear witness of our faith and trust in God. It is where we can bring Him offerings of praise, thanks, and honor, which are pleasing to Him. I remember I was in one church, and the pastor of the church told me about this one lady who was a member of that church, who was attendant, been attendant for years. She was pretty much deaf, almost completely blind. And, you know, some people had asked her, like, "Why do you even bother coming to church? You can't really hear anything. You can barely see anything." And she told them, "I want to make sure people know what side I'm on." You know, even if she couldn't get anything too much out of what was going on, she made sure she was there as a witness, as a testimony to her faith. Psalm 22, verse 22 says, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." You know, people are often motivated to church attendance for how it will bless them. However, we should remember that the primary purpose of the corporate gathering is to bring service to the Lord as a blessing to Him. You know, it's called a church service because we're supposed to serve. The Bible in Psalm 134, verse 1, a Song of Degrees, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." Indeed, the Lord is deserving of our time and our energy to honor Him with the service of devotion. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." You know, we bring honor and praise to God because He's deserving of honor and praise. You know, a lot of people want to be praised about this or that or the other. You know, in the military, I knew some guys that, you know, they tried to write themselves up for commendations. You know, self-proclaiming them. You know, they weren't worthy of honor or praise, some of those guys. No. But the Lord is worthy of honor and praise. But that's not all. You see, we should also go to church because it will help us to be stronger spiritually. Receiving the preaching and teaching of the Word of God increases our faith and builds us up spiritually. Every believer knows what it is to face spiritual conflicts to their faith. And we must realize the importance of being fed spiritually so that we can overcome the challenges. I believe a couple of weeks ago you mentioned about the book of Ephesians, the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now, you need to take a quick look at that armor. You see, that's an armor that you need for your spiritual battles. It starts with truth. You know, being girt about with truth. Where are you going to find truth? You going to find it out in the world? You going to find truth out there? Switch on the TV, find some truth there? Is there any truth there? I'm not seeing much. I'm seeing people around full of lies. You know, even the news, a lot of that just official lies. No truth there. We find truth in the Word of God, in the house of God. Righteousness. I don't see much righteousness in this world. I see every man for himself. I see divisiveness. I see wickedness. Righteousness? No. I don't see much of that. Even in the how should I put this? Even amongst circles that should proclaim righteousness, that say themselves, "Oh, we are a righteous organization," do we see righteousness? No. I see wickedness. The gospel of peace, that's hard to even find in some so-called Christian radio and television ministries. You know, the gospel of peace, the gospel itself. Not much righteousness in a bunch of those either. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Unfortunately, some people have got that mixed up. And they will lift themselves up and expect Christ to draw people to them. That's not how it works, folks. If you're there for the Lord, you're there for the Lord. I think I mentioned it the other day somewhere. I may have been here. You know, we called the church Peace Haven Baptist Church. We did not call the church Donovan Bangs Baptist Church. We didn't call the church, you know, Bangs Family Ministries. No, because the attention is not drawn to the individual, but to the Lord. The attention must always be upon Christ. And not the person speaking. You know, if you see anything of me, it's wickedness. You see anything of God, that's the righteousness. And the shield of faith. Well, how are you going to get that? Romans 10:17 says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." See, if you cut yourself off from the solid teaching and preaching of a local church, well, I don't hold out much hope for your chance of victory in this spiritual warfare. A soldier cut off from supplies and reinforcements, just being alone, they don't usually last very long. Would you say that's true, Joel? You ain't got any supplies, you ain't got reinforcements. You're not going to make it too long. You need to be in the church so you can get that. You know, you want to, I mean, you kind of want a big shield. You're going into battle? A big shield is good. One of those big tower shields or something, you know, like the Romans used to use, big tower shields, like hide behind that. Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And you're not getting the word, you have one of them itty-bitty baby shields. Well, that's not going to stop much, is it? You know, have a little shield like your three-year-old might use, you know. Ding, ding. No. You want something big. You know, you want a tank of faith, you know, a shield of faith. You know, have some bunkers of faith. Well, you need to get the word in you. If you haven't got any of the word in you, how's your faith going to be? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. You want some shielding? Get some faith. You want some faith? Get some word. Why else? Because it brings the promise of the Lord's presence. See, the Bible says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Now note, this is not just any gathering where believers are present. I mean, you know, if do you ever go shopping for shoes? Yeah, sometimes, you know, you ever meet Beverly or you'll go, yeah. If you're out there in the town and you bump into some other believers, you know, and that promise doesn't relate to that. See, you're not gathered there in Jesus' name. You're gathered there in the name of something's on sale and I'm going to get it. You're gathered there in the name of, ooh, doesn't that look pretty? You know, that's not gathering, two or three gathering together in Jesus' name. See, in Jesus' name, as I've pointed out before, is for the purposes or the manner in which Jesus came. We gather together in Jesus' name on Sundays because we're here to praise Him, to worship Him. That's the main purpose of the gathering. Just being out and about, or, you know, if I met Joel in a coffee shop and we were going out for donuts or something, well, that wouldn't be in Jesus' name. That would be in the name of a donut, which isn't a bad thing. But, you know, if you want the Lord's presence, where two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You don't have that promise if you just, you know, decide a round of golf is better on a Sunday morning. You know, you and another guy who happens to be a believer said, "Oh, you know, we won't go to church this Sunday. We'll go out into golf." And, you know, there's two of us, so Jesus is in the midst of us. Is He? No. Because you're not gathered there in Jesus' name. If it was in Jesus' name, you'd be in the house of God. You wouldn't be going off playing golf or fishing or pursuing some kind of activity. Or whatever it is, self-serving activity that would take precedence over your being in the house of God. You don't allow those things to get in the way. It's wrong. Now, as a believer, you should also be in church because it provides needed fellowship with other Christians. Now, some people I've met have told me that they're Christians, but they do not go to church because they have had a bad experience at church or at some kind of church. Have you ever had that? People say, "Oh yeah, I'm a believer, but I don't go to church anymore because I went to this one church and this happened to me and that was bad." You know, I had a bad experience once buying food. You know, I bought some food and it was rotten. You know, it was just, you know, you sometimes get the fruit and the fruit's bad at the bottom. So I had a bad experience buying food. Now, does that mean, because I had a bad experience buying food, I am no longer ever going to buy any more food ever? Well, obviously, yeah, you know that's true because, yeah, you know, look at me, Donovan buys food. That's what he does. You know, it happens. You know, I mean, I might change the place I shop or a particular brand I purchase, but I'm not going to stop buying food. Why am I not going to stop buying food, Jerick? Any idea? It's necessary for life. It's required. And in the same way, fellowship with other believers is necessary. It's required. The Bible says in Galatians 6:2, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Well, how can you do that without speaking to other believers, without that fellowship? How can I bear Joel's burdens if I never speak to Joel? I can't, can I? I can't help him with anything, and he can't help me with anything if we never communicate, because I got offended for something that happened and I never come to church. No. That's just silly. Same thing would apply to Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts the Lord." How are you going to admonish one another if you don't speak with one another? Galatians 6:10. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And, you know, we do that in this church. We are good to one another. I remember you guys coming over and helping me with my garden. And I've been over to everyone else's house and helped them with, you know, with stuff. We help each other. We are good, especially to those of the house of the faith. But if you know, you never show up, how can we be good to you? How can we know that you have a need? You know, I might be okay, kind of smart, but I'm not that smart. I can't read your mind. You know, as much as my wife might think that I'm able to read minds, no, I can't. But, you know, you guys will probably understand that. Where's the line? You understand that, Lyle? How, you know, they expect you to say, "Well, didn't you know?" Like, no. It happens. 1 John 1:6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." I mean, if you have a problem with another believer, then you deal with it biblically. If you've been offended, get it sorted out. Because oftentimes, it's just because an offense comes often because it's a misunderstanding. You know? That happens. A lot of people get offended, and you don't know you've offended them. You have no clue. And they're just off and away, and they don't bother telling you. Well, that's not what the Bible says. If you've been offended, you go to that person. Or if you know you've offended somebody, you go to that person. You speak with them about it. Get it sorted out. I mean, if you need help with that, you want to know what does the Bible say about offending people or how to do things, let us know. I mean, if I've offended you, let me know. Tell me. Don't cut yourself off and render yourself unable to fulfill these commandments concerning fellowship. Speak with us. Speak with each other. Don't isolate yourself. And another reason why believers should go to a local church is because it provides accountability to spiritual leadership. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 17. The Bible says, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 17, says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Now this verse, it's very unpopular with many people who claim to be Christians but have no affiliation with any type of church. It's unpopular with them. In fact, nowadays, the word obey at all is unpopular. You know, they've taken it out of the marriage vows, you know, in most places. The word obey, they don't like it. But this is strong evidence that proves that we are to be part of a church fellowship. See, God designed a system of accountability for the progress and protection of His flock. And obviously, this is not possible unless we are part of an organized fellowship which has identified leaders, pastors, or elders or teachers of some type. You know, because how can you obey them that have the rule over you if nobody has rule over you? You know? It would be impossible. And obviously, this also is not possible because you cannot be genuinely under submission to, let's say, like a TV or radio or internet pastor who has never met you. You know, you can't say, well, I'm part of this church I watch on TV if you've never been there. You can't be under submission to that particular pastor. You can't be spiritually accountable to that guy. You've never met that guy. You know, he's never been over to your house. They're probably not even in the same country. So you cannot claim to be part of some ministry that you watch or you listen to just because you watch or listen to it. You know, no. Now, if you're part of that church, if you've been to that church, and you are involved in the outreach ministry of that church, and you just happen to be away one Sunday morning, that's another matter. But I'm saying, you can't be genuinely under submission to a TV, radio, or internet pastor who's never met you. Nor is it possible to be under submission by visiting a different church every week. You know, you can't go hopping from church to church to church to church, because you won't be under submission to any of those people because you're not part of those churches. You're just popping by and saying, hi, and you off you go. There's no accountability there. The Bible tells us to know them that are over us in the Lord. It says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now, this would be impossible without being present in a physical, local body of believers that have defined places of leadership. Now, this does not mean that you'll automatically do everything your pastor or Sunday school teacher tells you. Because if it goes against Scripture, you obey the Scripture. That seems fairly simple, right? If the Bible says they do this, then you do this. Now, if the pastor says you should do this, but it goes against the Scripture, you follow the Scripture. If I say we should do this thing, but the Bible says don't do that thing, well, don't do that thing. You obey the Bible first and foremost. However, if what the pastor or the Sunday school teacher says is good, solid, biblical things, then really it's not them saying it, is it? It's God saying it. If I come up on a Sunday and say, you know, we should go into all the world and preach the gospel, is that just me saying it? No. That's in Matthew 28. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's God saying it. I'm just the relay. I'm just relaying the message that God has given us. And accountability is important as it will help prevent the rationalization of sin. And people do that a lot. For example, a man may say, well, from what I see in the Bible, God wants me to be happy. You know, and you'd say, yeah, it's, you know, God wishes you'd be happy sometimes. Yeah, you could see something in there. Then he rationalizes some more. being with my wife does not make me happy. If God wants me happy, being with my wife does not make me happy. However, this woman over here makes me happy. Therefore, God says maybe I should divorce this woman and go marry this woman. People would rationalize that stuff if they're not part of a church. No, and they have. I know people that have. They said, "Oh, God wants us all to be happy. So yeah, I'm going to leave her and go over and, you know, hang around with this floozy." You know. And you know, people will. Left to ourselves, we will try and rationalize almost any sin. One of the tasks of the leadership, and in fact every believer in Christ, is to be able to go to a brother or sister in Christ and in love tell them, "No, dummy, the Bible says this." You know, if one of you, you know, if Lyle said to me that, you know, like, "Pastor, I'm not very happy with my wife and I think I should go and, you know, hang around with this other woman instead, and God wants me to be happy," and I'll say two things. I'll say, "No, dummy, the Bible says this," and then I'll say, "Where's your wife going to hide the body?" yours, that is, but that's okay. Yeah, yes, you know, you don't want to upset the women, folks. Wow, they really turned that heat on. You warm enough now? You warm? Yeah, it's cool. I get warm. I get warm quick. But, you know, we should go to one another and tell each other when something is wrong. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." In Proverbs 27:17, the Bible says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." See, that submission, that obeying the leaders that are appointed above you, as far as for the scriptures goes, that's accountability. And how are we going to keep each other sharp if we're not here? You know, how is you know, if Joel doesn't show up to church ever, how is he going to sharpen my countenance? How is he going to keep me where I need to be if he's not here? Same thing with the rest of you. How are you going to help each other if you never communicate? And it's a mutual accountability. You know that, don't you? You know, if you guys are, you going into Cambridge or something, and you see me downtown, and I'm out there, and I've got a six-pack of beer in one hand, and I've got a couple of floozies following me around. You guys know what a floozy is? A young lady of, you know, well, just a young lady that might not be so good. And you say, "What are you doing, Pastor?" And I say, "Oh, I'm out drinking and picking up women." Now, you know, two things will occur to your mind at the time. You probably say, "Well, Pastor, the Bible says that's wrong." And also you'd say, "Are you girls from the blind school?" And I'd expect you to do that. Because that's what you need to do. You say, "Well, Pastor, the Bible says that this is wrong. And you taught us about this, so you shouldn't be doing this, should you?" And I would say, "Oh yeah, I remember that now. Sorry, I forgot about that." And then, you know, I'd be able to go back home and repent and get things taken care of. You know? It's a mutual accountability. So if you see me out picking up women, and it's not for Sunday school, then, you know, you let me know. Say, "Hey, that's wrong. I expect you to." It's a good thing. We help each other out. You know? We keep each other accountable. Admittedly, I haven't been doing the greatest job at that. And I'm going to try and do a little bit better. But it's up to us to help each other with that stuff. Keep each other straight. As believers, we need to commit ourselves to a local church for our own sake as well as for the sake of the brethren and for the cause of Christ. You might think, well, I'm doing okay. Maybe I don't need so much commitment. Well, yeah, maybe you don't need so much commitment, but somebody else in the church needs you to have that commitment. Somebody else in the church needs you to be living a holier and more righteous life. That way when they come to you and say, will you pray for me? You can actually do something about it. It's not just you. It's a unit. It's a team effort. We all need to be involved. We need to make sure that we are as spiritually strong as we can be. Not for your own sake necessarily, but yes, but also for the sake of other people. Now, if you're here today and you're not a believer, you should still come to the church. You should still come and hear and learn. Then you can learn about how to repent and receive Christ as your Savior. Now, if you have any questions about that, about why you should be in a church, about why, if you're lost, you need to come to Christ, let us know. Because we're here to help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for your love and your mercy. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to do that which is right. Help us to be committed to your church, wherever it may be, that we might serve you the best way we can. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.